Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Join now and earlier also, and in the future segments, several future segments, in fact, by Mike Tannenbaum. ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, etc. Guys, last night on Monday Night Football, I was not surprised that Ezekiel Elliott had a game. Look, whether or not he's overpaid or whether you should ever even pay running backs is a separate issue. He's a good player. They have an offensive line. He wasn't going to never have a good game this season. Mike, your thoughts about what you saw last night?
Yeah, I think Dallas is going to be really hard to stop because they, to me, are the essence of they could pass the score and run to win. They could beat you both ways, and they did that last night. I thought they just sort of had their way. And I'm a big fan of Dan Quinn, and I think what Dan Quinn's going to do on the other side of the ball, he's getting turnovers. Trayvon Diggs, great ball skills. Mm-hmm. A week ago, we saw Kazee with an interception. I think this is a team that's really, when you put all the pieces together, they should win the NFC East, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're going to win it going away. You mentioned Kazee, a guy who brought over from Atlanta to teach the secondary his system. You know, coaches do that a lot where they come from somewhere to a new system, a new team. They bring guys that can teach what their principles are and what it is that they want to do. Defensively, that's what stood out to me is that defense. Just watching how they utilize Micah Parsons, using him in different ways and variations, moving him around on the defensive side of the ball, allowing guys like Trayvon Diggs to all of a sudden start to play to his potential. The Cowboys are going to be a tough out. I know America's team, people hate, but they're going to be a tough out. They just really are.
And their first five picks were all defensive players. They're going to get better defensively as because they're so young. And I think when Lyle Collins comes back, that's a really dominant offensive line. They were able to move the ball last night. I think Philly losing Brandon Graham was really consequential because their front – you know, when you think about, like, Barnett, Hargrave, and Cox, like, that's the strength of their team. So I think Philly really lost a lot when they lost Brandon Graham.
And then in terms of Ezekiel Elliott, we have these conversations, Jay, about whether or not you're supposed to pay running backs. Who is it that I'm paying? I'm not just going to pay everybody, but there's certain guys at certain times in their careers that you make a bet on. And if it's worth it and you're getting that value out of it, then you pay them.
So, I mean, if you know, we always talk about Monday morning quarterbacks. If you were in a position, would you still have paid Christian McCaffrey the money that he got, knowing that he's a little bit injury prone? Like, it's – I think I would, but it's one of those things, too. You think about Saquon Barkley, obviously. Like, that O-line is still something that needs to be addressed. Contract coming up. Like, what do you do with a – with the running back that is as talented as him, but now has had an injury last year, and see how he handles it this year.
Am I better with him or without?
Well, here I have a question for you.
Or
Mike,
were you reallocating those resources?
I want to ask a former GM about paying running backs, okay? I think there should be an exception in the CBA for this because there's no reason to be a running back. Here's what I would do if I was a team. Here's the best argument to draft them up high, okay? They're great as soon as they're rookies, right? They get production. You don't have to develop them like a tackle or a quarterback. They're hit the ground running, so to speak. 5 years later, they're mostly used up. You never have to pay them. You can just draft them, get great all-pro production for 5 years, and never pay them, Mike.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Like, going back to the Zeke decision, first of all, like, they paid him too soon, in my opinion. He held out in Cabo. They should have paid Dak. They could have paid Dak about $32 million at the time. That's where Rodgers and Wentz and Goff were at. They waited, and they had to pay him over $40 million. I was screaming from the rooftops, pay Dak first, because you already had Zeke under contract for another year, and they could have franchised him. So it was more a question about timing. Tony Pollard, to me, is explosive. He is a change of pace back. He was averaging over 7 yards a carry going to last night. As it relates to Saquon, the reason I would pay him is he does a couple things. I think he gives Daniel Jones to be a lot better, because he is a guy, when healthy, he could hit home runs.
Yeah, you pay, that's what I said, you pay certain running backs. You pay Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara. You pay those guys. You pay Saquon Barkley. You pay Derrick Henry. You pay Curtis Martin. You don't pay Adrian Morrell. There's certain guys.
Well, I want to point something out about that, okay? I think it's the right thing to do in terms of the money they've earned and the kind of players they were. Todd Gurley contract was a mistake. You have to look at the facts afterwards and say, in retrospect, that contract was a mistake. Ezekiel Elliott's contract, in retrospect, was a mistake. The jury is out on Christian McCaffrey's contract because we know he's an incredible player. He's on the field. Let's see if he can stay healthy.
But, Max, to Key's point, like, if you would take Christian McCaffrey out or Alvin Kamara out, like, those teams would be below average.
Yes.
And I think, like, if I'm the Giants, if I'm John Mara, I have to do everything to make Daniel Jones successful. And that starts with
the next guy.
Yeah.
Well, that leads to the question, though, Key. Is Daniel Jones the guy, though?
He's trending in that direction for what it is right now. We have to see if Joe Judge going to make it. Is Jason Garrett going to make it? Is Gettleman going to make it? Are all three of those guys going to be back next year? Let's assume not, right? Let's just assume they're gone. The new coach comes in and he evaluates it, as Mike says. We sit down. We're going to look at it. Can I work with him? Because if I know I can work with him and he gives me the best chance to be successful, if Kevin Stefanski, for some odd, weird, strange reason, goes from Cleveland to the New York Giants, Daniel Jones is going to be okay because he'll know what to do with him. But if you get somebody that don't know what the hell they're doing, the first thing they're going to do, get rid of him, Sam Darnold-like. We're going to save money and we're going to – and then you're going to mess it up. So you take that running back like Mike is saying and Saquon Barkley. So whoever the quarterback is going to be successful. No quarterback in the National Football League with my eyeballs outside of Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, who has Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, has ever been good without a running back. Not one. Not one. Everybody as far back as Joe Montana and Roger Craig them. You've got to have a dominant running back.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Key, like just to build on that, is like if you go to Green Bay, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, they couldn't let Aaron Jones leave where they let Jamal Williams go. And to me, going back to the Giants, like Saquon is good out of the backfield. Like he's explosive, like McCaffrey, Kamara. And as great as Aaron Rodgers is, they didn't let Aaron Jones go. So I think there's another lesson.
When Lacy was toting the rock in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was good, but Aaron Rodgers wasn't Aaron Rodgers.
Much of that is the offensive line? Like if you have a good offensive line, DeMarco Murray, that's a good back, right? But like you can get work done with just a good back offensive line.
But Max, wait, look at the game the other night. They're missing Bakhtiari. Elton Jenkins gets hurt. They're on their third tackle, but they have Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, they got Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers, and Devontae Adams.
Wait, Mike T, can we go back to Daniel Jones for a second? So if I watch, you know, we talk about the similarities sometimes a little bit with Sam Darnold in those situations about, you know, obviously trying to make the most, even though he has a lot more weapons. But
are you making like a Sam Darnold Adam Gase joke?
No, I'm not. But if you watch Jets reset the clock, right, on their quarterback situation, isn't the Giants situation almost the same thing?
Yeah, I just think Daniel Jones has flashed more than Sam Darnold so far. Now, can they win with him? Like, that's still a big question mark. So, and by the way, like the Sam Darnold discussion, like if just to be candid, like Joe Douglas can't say this publicly, but I promise you he's worrying about two things this year. How well his team is playing in Zach Wilson and how did Sam do? Because one of the things we used to do is like we used to say like we have to evaluate our outdoor. When players leave us, do they still play well? Because a big part of team building is how they play with somebody else. And if Sam Darnold outplay Zach Wilson, that's something that's going to concern the Jets.
But of course he's going to outplay him year one of Zach Wilson's career on a bad team versus Sam Darnold kind of set up for success, right? Are they evaluating? Are they worried about year one to year, what is it, three or four comparisons to Sam Darnold?
Yeah, it's year. Now he's going to his fourth year.
But year four.
Yeah, but my point in that, Max, is like Zach Wilson has to show like meaningful improvement to say that, hey, we're convicted that this is the right guy, even if there will be growing pains. I mean, if we go back to Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields as a group, like they all struggled the other day. That's going to happen. But what I'm saying, when you take the long view at the end of the year, you have to say to yourself, well, Zach Wilson looks like he has the better trajectory than Sam Darnold.
But how could, and not that Joe Douglas got it wrong, but how could you not evaluate a guy who's been in the pros for 3 years versus a guy in a Mountain West Conference with narrow shoulders, smaller? How could you not see, hey, if he goes to somewhere with some talent, he's going to be pretty good? How could you not see that? No, Sam Darnold goes to Carolina and he looks like a totally different player. How could you not see that we don't have players on our team.
Yeah, Key, that's the hard part of evaluating and team building. Like Justin Herbert, I was screaming from the rooftops, this is the number one pick in the draft. How could people not see it? He's on the West Coast. There is a huge East Coast bias when we evaluate in terms of, like, people in the SEC get the benefit of the doubt.
But I'm not listening to them, Mike. I'm listening to you in my office.
Yeah, I got you.
Not listening to no damn reporters.
Yeah, and Zach Wilson is a smaller guy, and that would be a concern. And I think what you have to do is you have to come in, you have to sit down with Robert Saleh and Coach LaFleur and say, okay, if we keep Sam Darnold, what's the vision, and how are we going to put him in a position to be successful?
That's when you guys are talking about a team that had really no weapons, and I'm sitting here talking about Daniel Jones, or a team that does have weapons. And, Mike, you tell me, when do you think they're going to win their first game? 0-3 right now. Let's be real about it.
They should have won four already.
Week four at Saints. They're going to win that one, Mike?
It's 8 o'clock if you don't.
Week five at Cowboys. They're going to win that one?
Nope.
At home versus the Rams. They're going to win that run?
Mm-mm.
At home versus the Panthers. Watch CMC be back for that game. Christian McCaffrey.
They got a shot at that one.
Okay. At Chiefs.
Nope.
Raiders.
Nope.
At Bucks.
Nope.
Then the Eagles. Then the Dolphins. So, like, that's what I'm talking about. We could be talking about a team that's...
They are a 4-5 win team anyway, though. That's what they were going to be.
I mean, they really have a win. They just didn't give it to him. Like, he wasn't offsides, and they shouldn't have gotten another shot at the field goal.
It's a loss. It's a loss.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
really a win.
You're
There's
right.
no moral victories
I get it.
In professional sports.
I'm just saying, like, the difference between the Giants and a 2-1 team is, like, a play. Two plays is the difference. The margins are very thin in the NFL. And then if you thought of them as a 2-1 team, some of those teams that, Mike, you were saying, nope, nope, you say, maybe. Right. Like, it's human nature.
Max,
you can't help
Max,
but to be
influenced. We talked about this before. Good teams win those games. Bad teams find ways
by
to
definition,
lose those
games. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Mike, keep that GM hat on. This is what LeBron James said to the Mannings, that would be Peyton and Eli, on ESPN2 last night.
Jerry Jones offered me a contract. Also, Pete Carroll did as well in Seattle during our lockout time. And it definitely got my blood flowing again, got my mind racing again, thinking about the game of football, you know, being out there on Sundays. But, you know, we was able to get a deal done in the NBA, and I was back on the court in no time. But I definitely thought about it. I still got the jersey, too. That Jerry and Pete Carroll sent me from 2011.
Would you have signed LeBron James, Mike Tannenbaum?
1,000%. Why not? I mean, great red zone receiver. I mean, you know, the truth is, like, he was a great receiver and a great blocker. You know, we've talked about that before. He was people don't understand what value he always brought to the offense. And LeBron James would have been very similar because he could have blocked and he could have been a great red zone player. So I think there's actually a lot of similarities from a football standpoint, between Key and LeBron.
Key, ooh. What about you? You think he could have played? I mean, you know the tight end position well. You know the wide receiver position well.
I think he could have.
I said tight end, Key.
I think he could have played tight end. I think so. I don't know that he would have been able to. Mike said red zone, so that means he's detached from the formation. Red zone target, he's big, high balls, things of that nature. I don't know that he could have played receiver. He could have played tight end for sure. But at receiver, getting in and out of those breaks, dropping those hips. I mean, he's a big, big dude. So it's kind of, you know, what is he, 6'9"?
6'8".
6'8", 6'9", 260. Yeah, that's not a receiver, man. That's a defensive end, tight end.
It's actually a little bit like Mike Williams from USC, like when he came
out. Yeah,
bigger.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? And Jay, well, I have all the respect in the world for you. Like, there is a toughness factor. Like,
uh-oh.
There is a toughness factor.
Hey,
I'm just saying.
Mike. I already told them that. I said, and I looked into the camera. I said, LeBron, you my boy, and I love you to death. But it is different getting hit in the pros than it is in basketball or high school or college football.
It doesn't mean he can't. It just means you don't know until you see it.
It means exactly what I'm telling you, Max.
You think
it's different?
It means for me, I can't.
Once you get hit,
nope.
Do I think LeBron James is cotton candy? No. Max, no. But there's something about getting hit going across the middle and your helmet goes one way and your face goes another. It's a different so, – I've seen guys, and so have you, Mike,
100%.
Decide to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm done.
So I totally agree with what Keith said. If the four of us were in a draft meeting and we have to put a grade on LeBron James as a football player, under the toughness category, if we want to be kind, we would give it a grade of incomplete. We just don't know.
We don't know.
We're not saying he can't be, but there's a lot of other guys we have on tape that we know will go across the middle. We'll dig out those safeties.
Know who those guys are? Guys without options. Like LeBron's got options.
Yeah, but you have no idea. Max, let me just tell you something, man. You know who Steve Atwater is?
Mm-hmm.
Until you get hit by Steve Atwater, doesn't Ronnie Lotz and the late Sean Taylor.
Rodney Harrison.
That's different.
No doubt. What I'm saying is you're not saying LeBron can't do it. You're saying until you see it, don't know.
I love him. He tough. You just don't know. Dunk on people and all that.
But
there's different on that field.
When you say he's tough, that's a very ambiguous word. He can be tough for a basketball player. Yeah. That's not getting hit by Ronnie Lott.
But let me ask you, some of the greatest tight ends in the game, how tall were they?
Well, Gronk, 6'7".
There's some big guys. Gronk, Kelsey, 6'7". Darren Waller's big. Yeah.
How tall is Darren Waller?
He's probably 6'6".
Yeah, LeBron be the upper echelon in terms of size.
I mean, just if you're throwing that ball high for him to stretch to go get that thing every time, man, that just puts you in harm's way.
Yeah, this is like boxer. This is like Mike. I'm
holding my abs and my ribs for him.
He probably, you know what he could probably been? He probably could have been one of the best defensive ends in the history of the game. Could have been that, too. He could have came off the edge and been good at that, too.
Like Ed Too Tall Jones?
Like an Ed Too Tall or anything. Simeon Rice is 6'6". You know, you can be, with his motor, his size, and his explosiveness, he'd have been almost cursed, but he would have been a you-know-what coming off that edge.
Yeah. I'm asked sometimes about, which athletes would have made good fighters, good boxers. You just don't know until you see him. Like, you know, I might look at Allen Iverson and be like, tough size, super middleweight, 168 pounds, long arms, fast twitchies. You just don't know until you see a dude in the ring. Same thing with football, right? Like, you got
to
see it.
I would love to see LeBron come across the middle.
Max, is that the old Mike Tyson? Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's it.
Ask Nate Robinson. Yep.
But basketball.
What?
But this is the thing.
He had a plan.
Jake Paul changed it. But that's the thing about basketball. Everyone's trying to play in the NBA. People who play other sports basically couldn't play in the NBA. Why wouldn't you want to play? It's not full contact. You're not
longevity.
Getting punished. You don't have a helmet on. Everyone knows who you are. You have a long career. Though. Make a lot of money. Yeah. Of course.
It's so differently, though.
LeBron has options. Someone with options. Can they be a great football player? It's hard, right?
Yeah, you know, that's Jimmy Johnson. When Jimmy Johnson built the Dallas Cowboys in the mid-90s, he said, I want people who have no parachutes, that they have to make it in football.
Absolutely.
Or they have nothing else.
Absolutely.
And there was a lot of grit and tenacity on those Dallas Cowboys teams.
There's no question about it. I've always said one of the things that I've looked for just in general about guys that grow up a certain way with that grit and have nothing else to turn back to, those are my best guys.
You know,
it's cool. Mommy and daddy work, and everybody got cars and all that, and you go to a nice school and houses plush. That's cool. But the chances of you being as good for me as the guy that has to run through a wall is different.
He has no options. He's got to do it.
Never heard that before. I like that.
The best question I ever, you go to the combine, ask all those questions. In over 20 years, the best answer I ever got was I asked a player, with your signpost, what's the first thing you're going to do? And he said, I'm going to go buy my grandmother groceries because growing up in our house, we never had food in the cupboard. And we're like, there's no way this player is going to fail. There's no way. He is going to do whatever he has to do to make it. And Rex always used to say to the team, hey, guys, I want you here. We're going to win or die trying. And the die trying part was really that's what you're talking about. The tenacity. And that's the difference between sometimes a player having an average career or a great career.
Yeah, and it sounds kind of weird, right, that you think about it that way. It's certain guys, man, you're like, well, where did he grow up? What's his lifestyle? What's his family like? You're like, oh, okay, well, that's why he's not in here at 6 o'clock in the morning lifting weights till 10 at night.
Or a guy like Devin Hester, who we spoke to earlier, who said, you know, he tells his son all the time, there are guys who play football because they like it, and then there are dudes who love it. And in Devin Hester's case, it sounded like he needed it. Like he had no choice. He had to play football.
Absolutely.
Forget about everything else. He just loved it.
Absolutely.
Right?
I got a son that could have been amazing, but my son didn't love football. And he's like, I'm cool. Pops is straight, so I'm straight.
Well, there are a lot of professionals.
So I come to him and I say, if that's not what you want to do, boy, don't do it. Don't waste those people's time. There's other people that would love to be in your position.
That was cool. LeBron. I want to get to this on ESPN2's Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli as the Cowboys beat the Eagles. But the Cowboys were without Lyle Collins. Collins is serving a 5-game suspension for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy, and sources told Adam Schefter that one of the reasons for the suspension is because Collins attempted to bribe the league's drug test collector. Mike, does that bring up any memories for you?
It does. I had a player X one time who was deep in the NFL policy program. And so when you get tested, you have to do two things. You have to produce a specimen and a government ID. So one day in Florham Park, back at the Jets, we had a substitute collector who goes up to player X and says, hey, you know, I'm here to test you. And so he takes a specimen. Okay, now I just need to see a government ID. You know who I am. I don't know who you are. I need to see your license. So they come and get me in my office. They're like, Mike, there is an emergency downstairs. Like, our player was on the precipice of getting suspended because he would not show the ID because he was so upset that the guy didn't know who he was.
It was just a pure ego thing.
1,000%. And if he didn't show him the ID, he would have been suspended probably for the next month. And he was a hugely consequential player
now,
for us.
In Lyle Collins' case, I get it. If we're talking about weed, right? Like if we're talking about cannabis, I understand where a football player may think, hold on, I'm playing in a league that, like, I see beer commercials and stuff, and all the science says it's relatively, if anything's worse, it's alcohol, right? Like, this is kind of hypocritical. All right, let me give this guy some money on the side just so I can get through this thing. That's different, whatever the ethics of that. That's different than a dude just flat out refusing to hand someone an ID, right? Like, that's much worse, in my opinion, at least for the team, one would think.
Well, that's why we went, got his license and solved the problem. But it was just unbelievable that that's what it came down to. But going back to Lyle Collins, like, you know, they've changed the CBA to make it much more like, you know, when you get tested, like, it's really hard to run afoul of the rules now.
Right.
And we knew when we were getting tested back then, though, right?
Yeah, but it's even less frequent now.
Yeah, it's just that we had some knuckleheads in the NFL that just, the Wizinator, that was one.
The Wizinator,
that was an interesting one.
Yeah. What is the biggest concern at 2-1? The Cowboys' biggest concern, having won a Monday Night Football last night. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Cowboys ranked 10th in Key's Real Rankings. If you missed those rankings, why he had the Rams number one, the Bucks only dropping to 2. No Kansas City? Check it out in the first hour of KJM Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can chime in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. React to Key's Real Rankings. All right, Monday Night Football. Cowboys routed the Eagles, but there was one situation that left Cowboys fans a little concerned. First off, Mike Tannenbaum here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. What would you have done at the end of the half where Mike McCarthy refused to call timeout on fourth down?
Yeah, it should have been on third down. It was like third and 23. Timeout, timeout, timeout. Like, most of these games come down to one possession. Your offense is unstoppable. I was shocked. I mean, we can talk about fourth down, but Max, go back to play before. Yeah. It's third and forever. Call timeout. You're going to get them off the field. You know they're going to run a screen or a draw, which is exactly what they do to Miles Sanders. They get them to fourth and five. And to me, you're at home. You have a hot quarterback. Your offense is unstoppable. It's inexcusable to me why you don't call timeout, not just on fourth down, guys, but third down.
You know, I look at it a lot of different ways. It looks a certain way to us as fans, but in his mind, is he thinking we're up 20-7, don't want to put us in harm's way? Yes, we can call timeout. We can get the ball back. We can get in a two-minute or one-minute offense and probably get three out of it and go in 23-7. Or I could be satisfied, not be greedy, take it in at 20-7 and not put my quarterback in harm's way. What if there's a sack fumble? We had a sack fumble earlier in the game that resulted in a touchdown. What if there's an interception pick six? Why not just be conservative in this situation and just play into the second half?
So I got two responses. Number one, Philly's going to get the ball to start the third quarter, so you're going to lose a possession there. Secondly, I understand your point. It's totally fair, Key. The first play of that drive should be a screen or a draw to Tony Pollard. No risk and only upside. And if he breaks it, you're good to go. If not, then you take a knee. Like, to me, there's no downside in calling timeout on third down, let alone fourth down, and then seeing what you could do. Like, Pollard's an explosive player. Or throw a screen to CeeDee Lamb.
You see, yeah. Mike, I agree with you on the aggressive mentality to see what's there. And obviously to get a little bit more points on the board, hopefully before the half when the Eagles get the ball back. But this kind of brings up a little bit of a bigger issue or just a narrative to pay attention to. Because, you know, when we had Dan Graziano, we were talking on the show about when you get into playoff football and those inches matter throughout the course of the game, not only on the field figuratively, but literally, okay? It has so much to do with clock management. So now that there's history of these last two games, if that happens again for him, are we going to start, if they don't do it, or will we start talking about guys like Kellen Moore, like as a new head coach? Because that's your job to manage that.
Yeah. And like to me, it's all about like your mindset, like what's your process? Like somebody should be able to say to him, it should be, I would think, Bones Fossil, who's their special teams coach, like, hey, what's our process? Because like you said, Jay Will, for the last 2 weeks, they've made a mistake. They have to fix it. It's a lot better, Key, as we know, to fix problems after a win than a loss. But they have to fix this because at some point it's going to cost them.
I still like people in the NFL. It's such a tough sport. It requires so much courage and everything. But I find coaches to really lack courage a lot of the time. Like, they're so afraid, and maybe it's because the media grills them if there's a negative outcome, but they're so afraid of the negative outcome that they won't try for the positive outcome.
I'm going to get fired, though. Man, I got a job that I have to
do. I get it.
But I got to be protective of my job. I can't just do what the fans want me to do.
But Max, no doubt, but go ahead.
I was going to say, like, what's ironic about that, he screwed up his own philosophy earlier in the game, which is, we know Coach Parcells would say, you can lose the game before you can win it. And when you're backed up, he used to tell Dan Henning and Charlie Weiss, you can't toss the ball from
don't
the end zone.
Don't you dare toss the ball.
Right. So to your point, Max, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, when they're backed up in the end zone, why are they throwing it? They could just run the ball and punt it.
Yeah, so it's conservative in some instances when you shouldn't be and when you shouldn't be.
But see, when you backed up, every coach, and Mike knows this, every coach have a different philosophy in different situations. When you are backed up into the end zone, there's only two ways you go. You sprint to the left or sprint to the right. That's it. When you're throwing the ball, you don't drop back. You get a guy out on the perimeter so he can throw the ball in the stands, and that's pretty much it. You're going to less likely get holding calls if you're doing those sort of things. And if you're running the ball, run it straight ahead.
There's something that you said, Mike, and this is something we were talking about earlier. This applies to chess, right, which is kind of like football but not physical, right? The coaches are the chess players. You have an expert versus a master, okay? Expert's really good. Master's even better. They both make like sophisticated moves. Well, that's a good move because the difference is the move is part of a plan, right? It's not just perfunctory, oh, that's a good move. It's part of an overall plan. So when you say you can't really make heads or tails out of the approach because it doesn't seem to fit into an overall plan, isn't that a problem?
Yeah, it certainly is. And really, like, ironically, if we go back, Nick Sirianni did something similar. He goes shotgun empty, and Jalen Hurts makes slightly behind throw to Zach Ertz, ball pops up, Jordan Lewis should have walked in for a touchdown. So Philly did really the same thing. It just, to me, there's just some inconsistencies there. If you're aggressive, great, be aggressive. If you're throwing out your end zone, then call timeouts. If you're conservative, run it out of the end zone and don't call timeouts. So, and again, I think Jay Will brings up a great point. If we go back a week ago to the Ram game, there were, the Charger game, they had some other real questions that Zuerlein really bailed them out with a long field goal. But if not, we could have been talking about, you know, a two-loss team instead of a two-win team.
So 49ers leaving too much time on the clock for Rodgers. Chargers should have taken a knee at the end of the game. Ravens should have thrown a Hail Mary instead of trying a 66-yard field goal. What really is the one that you think, like, oh, my God?
Yeah, I'll go back to the Charger game for a second because I think they did a really good job. It's fourth and four. They bring the field goal kicker out. They call timeout. They're like, no. Let's go with Justin Herbert. They get a false start, so it's fourth and nine. They could have even considered punting. No, we're going to stay aggressive. Mike Williams against DeAndre Baker, that was, obviously a good play. Worked out. But here's the play. When they get the ball, there's 32 seconds to go, and they score too quick. They should have taken a knee, guys, bled the clock down to 1 second, call timeout, and then kick an extra point to win the game. Because even though they score here, Mike Williams had a great game. You're giving the ball back to the greatest player in our sport, in Patrick Mahomes. And to me, you're much better off trying to win on kicking an extra point in the last play of the game. And Aaron Rodgers showed us that night 37 seconds, but why would you give the ball back to the best player on the planet with 32 seconds?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. That was Mike Tenenbaum. What are you doing in a little bit, Mike? You come back and...
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to not have my NBA and load manage, so I think I'm going to try to come back.
Yeah,
wow,
that's
another
good job.
Wow, let's go. We're soft. We're load managing today.
All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Yeah, that includes Chiefs tight end, one of the best to ever do it, Travis Kelce. One of the best to ever do it, let alone one of the best in the game right now, Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Travis.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Max, Keyshawn, Jay, what's going on, fellas?
What's good, man? Travis?
Max, Keyshawn.
Living the dream, baby. Just trying to find a way to get better and get back on the winning train. You feel me?
Oh, you sound like you've been talking to some coaches or something, man.
That's just year nine, man. I'm programmed. So, they got me programmed out here in KC.
Speaking of coaches, your coach Andy Reid was admitted to the hospital after the game on Sunday. What have you heard about Big Red and how's he doing?
I've heard he's doing better. I've heard he's also got back into the building. And, that's all we can hope for is that he's doing all right. We'll fix everything on the football field. We got a lot of great leaders in the building. And it matters to a lot of guys that we've brought in here in KC. So I think, health is always number one. We gotta be healthy and we got to be feeling like ourselves. And I'm just glad that I heard that Coach Reid is back in the building.
TK, obviously a lot of stuff going on in the country. You know, vaccines, COVID, and other things. Like, what was your actual reaction in the locker room when you guys found out that Coach was sick?
I mean, outside of everything going on, and you never want to hear anybody's going to, take a trip to the hospital, even if it is for precautionary reasons. That's our leader, man. That's our guy. we don't go if Coach Reed isn't there. It's just, you know, it's been a pleasure my first 9 years being able to get to learn from such a great leader, such a great football mind. And, you know, I'm forever thankful for what he's been in my life, let alone on the football field. So you never like to hear things like that. And your first thoughts just go to the family and everybody around. And, you know, you want to show them support and show them love that, you know, everybody's out here thinking of you.
Travis Kelce, Kansas City Chiefs tight end, and my favorite tight end in the National Football League, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
That.
I'm not buttering you up just because you're on the show. I think you that dude, though, for real. That's just me. But, you know, you guys are 1-2, and you started off, you know, looking like Kansas City, but then all of a sudden you dropped the last two. Patrick Mahomes said after Sunday's game that a little bit of adversity never hurts. What's the message in the locker room based on everything going on in your division right now? Denver's fire, Las Vegas is fire, and then you just dropped one to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a position that we wanted to be in or that we'd expected to be in, especially with how well we performed in our division the past couple years. I think personally, I'm with Pat on this one, man. A little adversity doesn't hurt. I think what it does is it helps mold you as a team, and it helps bring guys together. And I'd rather have it earlier than later on in the season. So we're battling through a lot of adversity, kind of trying to figure out what our MO is this year, knowing that every single year you got to recreate the team, reinvent the wheel, and really be a better team than you were previous. Knowing how many guys we had come back again this year, and from there it's just, you know, taking it a game at a time, a day at a time, going to work today, figuring out exactly how we're going to attack the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, it's, like I said, one day at a time, one week at a time. Our division is a great division. So I would assume that, you know, nobody's just going to coast through and win all of their division games. We got a lot of good talent this year, and the Raiders and the Broncos and the Chargers. And I just think, you know, it's going to take the whole season to find out who's going to be the divisional winners.
The great Travis Kelce on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Travis, like, one of the things about Patrick Mahomes is, dude, like, makes all those incredible plays and doesn't turn the ball over normally. But you guys have a bunch of turnovers already this season. What is that about? How do you turn that around?
Yeah, I mean, you can say all you want about, you know, who we are as a team this year, but we've personally felt like we beat ourselves these past two games with the turnovers, with the mistakes, and it's the entire team. It's not just offense and it's not just defense. It's the entire team. We just got to lock in a little bit more on the little things, and it starts in practice. I don't think that, you know, this is a very uncharacteristic play that we've come out the gates with in terms of turning the ball over. And I know we got a lot of guys that it matters to them, right? I said it before. So we'll fix that problem. We'll get it fixed. And hopefully we start playing against the other team instead of playing against ourselves.
Travis, you hold a bunch of NFL records for tight ends in your young career. You just went over the 8,000-yard mark. Congratulations on that earlier this season. Thanks. Where do you think in the end you rank or would like to be ranked with the all-time greats at that position? It's all good, man. You can gloat, smile.
I couldn't even tell you, man. Listen, I hope it does. I hope my football career doesn't end anytime soon. And I hope I just keep stacking, man. That's all I can do. I'll let everybody else try and slot me in terms of where I am on the all-time list, man. But I'm blessed to be and fortunate to be in a situation where I can have success. And I got a lot of guys around me that want to play football and have a lot of fun doing it with them. And that's just where I am in my career. Hopefully when it's all said and done, you can put me up there with the Tony Gonzalez's and the Antonio Gates and all the greats that I grew up watching.
Yeah, man, you're definitely part of that camp, Travis. So tell us why you're joining us today.
Yeah, so I'm here on behalf of LG. My series with LG's only on OLED TVs gives you a firsthand look into my life off the field. Whether it's being an entrepreneur or just having fun beyond sports, man. You guys know I like to enjoy my life outside of football. But LG OLED TV is perfect for watching live sports. The rich, vibrant, pictures, give you realistic pictures, man. And I think it only elevates your viewing experience, but it makes you feel like you're right there in the game or right there locked into the TV. So I just all the rest of the series that I've been putting out on my social media and LG has been developing, it's gonna, the next phase is going to come out here within the next day, and it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to be a part of. I brought in a few friends of my childhood to help me, you know, show off or showcase what I do off the field, and it's just been a whole lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. Hey, I got one more for you. So you joined the Mannings last week, and last night LeBron James was on their show, and he said that on a Monday Night Football with the Mannings that he was offered contracts by two teams to play tight end, which is incredible, Pete Carroll and Jerry Jones for their respective teams. So with that being said, Travis, will you invite him to tight end you?
Yeah, no, the invitation for LeBron to come to tight end you is open, man. It's there. I got him a seat right next to me if he wants to come. We'll show him a little bit what it takes, but I think LeBron would fit and match perfectly in a Kansas City Chief uniform playing the tight end position, man. That guy can move, man. I remember watching him in high school basketball, just going down to Cleveland State watching, because he used to fill out stadiums left and right, so they moved his games to bigger arenas. And watching him in high school just be an athlete and play basketball was one thing, man. But to see all those highlights of him in high school and his dominance on the field, man, it makes you wonder whether or not he could really do it. But I would love to see it happen.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, speaking of someone who could really do it, that's one of the best you will ever see, and he's exactly. still in his prime. Travis Kelce, the great Travis Kelce, Kansas City Chiefs tight end, Super Bowl champion. Thank you, Travis.
I'll see you, man.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Yeah, see, I would have asked him. I said, man, you didn't invite Tim Tebow. I should have asked him.
Leave Tim Tebow alone, man.
No, I was just saying.
We over here talking about LeBron. You bringing up Tim Tebow.
Tim could have used some.
To the tight end, Tim.
Tim could have used some tight end.
Keep Tim Tebow's name out of your mouth.
I'm just saying he invited LBJ. Never mind. I'm just going to keep him out of my mouth.
Go ahead, Max.
Speaking of goats, one returns to where it all began and already knows how it's going to go. That's right. He said it. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Back after this.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.